This meeting of the House Fisheries Committee to order. The time is 10:10 a.m. on Thursday, March 3rd. Members present at this time, Representative Kreis Tompkins is joining us by phone, Representative Story, and myself, Representative Tarr. We don't have a quorum, but that's okay because we're doing a presentation today. We'd ask if folks would please silence their cell phones. Thank you to our committee aide, Thatcher Brower. Please direct any notes to him. Also, thank you to Shannon McCain, our committee secretary, and Lydia Klein from the Juno LIO for their support. We just have the one agenda item today, and we're grateful for you coming to us and making this presentation. It's called Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute Update. Joining us, Jeremy Woodrow, the executive director of ASME. And you just let us know if you want to do the presentation and take questions throughout, or if you'd prefer to get through the presentation and then take your questions. And then Representative Kreis Tompkins, we'll just try and check in with you to see if you have questions as things go on. Okay, please go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Chair Tarr, members of the House Fisheries Committee. My name is Jeremy Woodrow. I'm the executive director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institutes. And we can take questions throughout since it seems like we have some time for this presentation. I don't think it will delay it or interrupt the presentation too much. Today, I'm going to provide an update on what ASME is doing to increase the value of Alaska's seafood resources and how we're doing this in the global marketplace. And also, I'll talk a little bit about the current status of Alaska seafood and the value of Alaska seafood here at home. I start every presentation with this. You've probably seen this slide before, but what is ASME? ASME is, or Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, is a public-private partnership between the state of Alaska and the Alaska seafood industry. We're governed by a 7-member board of directors made up of 5 processors and 2 harvesters. We also have many ex officios on our board, including members of the legislature, including Chair Tarr. Speaker Stutes has also served as ex officio in the past, as Representative Ortiz. We appreciate the legislature's involvement in our board as well, too, as we work to better the seafood industry. ASME's primary goals are increasing the economic value of Alaska seafood resource. We do this through building and protecting the Alaska seafood brand, developing markets worldwide, and working directly with the seafood industry to maximize those efforts. In July of 1981, we turned 40. We're very proud of that we've been serving Alaskans in the Alaska seafood industry for 40 years, and we look forward to the next 40 and beyond. Just briefly, the ASME's budgets, and this is our FY22 budget authority. We're primarily funded through 2 funding sources, and that's our seafood marketing assessment, which is the statutory designated program receipts. That's based on a 0.5% of ex vessel value. Just a reminder of what ex vessel value is that's the first sale from the fisherman to the processor. And then we also receive various federal funds. Our primary federal funding is the Market Access Program through the USDA Foreign Agricultural Service. We also have a multi-year appropriation of the Agriculture Trade Promotion Program funds. Those are one-time funding made available under the Trump administration as a response to the China trade conflict. And those will expire within the next couple of years. We also have a Salt and Stall Kennedy grant this year, and then throughout any given year, we may apply for Cochrane Fellowship funds, which is to bring visitors from foreign markets to the U.S. and Alaska to be introduced to our fisheries, potential buyers, and then also visiting emerging markets to the Emerging Markets Program. That's part of our market expansion efforts, and then also the Quality Samples Program we might apply for. This year is unique. We also have $7 million of American Rescue Plan Act funds, which we're very thankful for this legislature's recognition, as well as Governor Dunleavy's recognition of ASME needing that, those funds to help support our fisheries to respond to the negative impacts due to COVID-19. And we are using those funds this year. And I'll talk about that a little bit, about how we're using that to maximize the value of Alaska seafood. Now, I'll just point out that we receive 0 general fund. We haven't had any general fund since 2018. We're funded solely on the seafood market assessment and our federal funding. And all together, you'll see that we have a little over $30 million, but really we spend about $19 million this year. We need to have money in the bank when we start each fiscal year. That's so we can actually cut checks to our contractors and we don't delay our efforts come July 1 of each fiscal year. And so it's part of our fiduciary responsibility to make sure we have a little bit of reserves when we start each year. Our funding from our market assessment doesn't come on July 1st. It comes throughout the year. And so that kind of builds each year. We use that to start each year and then draw down from it.
Oh, yes. Representative Story has a question.
Yes. Thank you through the chair. And thank you for being with us again, Mr. Woodrow. It's great to see you. So can you tell me a little bit about any activity that's happened under like the Cochrane Fund or the Sulston or Sulton Stahl Kennedy Grant, or maybe that's in the presentation later?
Through the chair, Rep. Story, actually, I don't have specific examples of that in the presentation, so this is a good time to cover it. So under Cochrane Fellowship, we've brought many different trade delegations to Alaska from various places in the world, such as various parts of Asia, South America, European buyers, and we've used Cochrane Fellowship for many years now. We have not done that for the last few years due to COVID. We haven't brought any visitors to the States. We are looking at bringing visitors into the state this year, and so we would potentially be using a Cochrane Fellowship for that. That helps just make our current dollars go a little bit further. For Salt and Stahl Kennedy grants, those are competitive grants. They're actually fairly difficult. ASME has had a challenge securing Salt and Stahl Kennedy grants in the past, but we do have one grant in, this year, and that's for a seafood analysis database, nutritional database, and we're actually working with the Department of Environmental Conservation on using that database, and that's helps give us a nutritional profile of contaminants also of all of our species. It helps our buyers know that our seafood is safe, and that database is outdated, and so being able to apply for that grant, it's a $300,000 grant that's available for two-year use, and that just helps provide some security and for our seafood for buyers.
Thank you.
A follow-up? Okay. Just want to also recognize, thank you, Representative McCabe. Good morning. Has joined us at 10:15. On those two that we just talked about, because I'm unfamiliar with those, are those competitive processes so that, you know, ASME is competing with other marketing organizations from other coastal states and there's like a certain, you know, number of dollars that get stretched across the country?
To the chair, all of our federal funding is competitive. There's limited federal funding, and therefore they have to decide who receives the funding. And we aren't only competing with other coastal states. These funds are available to other commodities as well. And so, such as our market access program, we're competing against all agricultural products, whether it's poultry, beef, grains, et cetera, fruits. They all apply for these funds as well.
Thank you.
We divide our funding into five core programs, the international marketing, domestic marketing, seafood technical, communications, and global food aid. And we also have our administrative staff that helps keep our house in order. And I'll just cover each of those programs briefly here. Our international marketing program oversees 9 program areas in 42 different countries. Of our program areas, I've highlighted South America and Southeast Asia. These are two new markets where Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute is working in recently, and this is primarily in part of the agriculture trade promotion funding that I mentioned earlier. We've expanded our Brazil program to the entire continent of South America. We see opportunity in South America for reprocessing as well as a domestic market for our seafood products. Southeast Asia is also a growing market for Alaska seafood. This is helping us divest away from China due to the difficulties of the trade tariffs to get our products into China. And we're seeing growth in this region just in the last few years since we began our efforts. And of course, these efforts would not be possible if we weren't working with the seafood industry from Alaska, who is also seeing opportunities in these areas as well.
I just want to ask on those to understand it in a like a little more granular detail. I know there's big expos, for example, in the European ones, and we've heard a little bit about that in the RFM presentation. But then in terms of establishing those relationships, and maybe this is just sort of exists in the industry and it's kind of the standard of how everybody does this. I just don't know. But, you know, we have staff, ASME staff, physically placed in some of these locations. Is one question. And then second question is just, you know, outside of kind of the familiarity with those kind of efforts, you know, like what does it look like a little bit more on a, like a day-to-day basis for trying to find these new markets? I just want to understand that a little bit better about how we actually accomplish that in 42 countries. That seems like a very large reach. And so
Right. To the chair. ASME does not have any staff based outside of Alaska. We have a 20-member staff, so we're fairly small when you look at the size of our scope. We do have in-market contractors, though, who are experts in these regions. And we really rely on those in-market experts. They speak the language. They live. They know the customs, and they have the contacts who we work with. They also oftentimes represent other commodity groups as well, too. And so they have a greater scope of work, and they have been therefore larger business partners who we can work with. We also, in some of our foreign markets, we work with some of our U.S. trade partners and other commodities to promote U.S. food as well. So that this would benefit to Alaska seafood in those markets. Each market really does have trade shows throughout any given point of the year. We rely on our in-market experts to help us better understand which trade shows will provide the best benefit to Alaska seafood. When we're looking at new markets, say if we're expanding to South America or all of South America or Southeast Asia or other parts of the world, we're always combing through trade data. We're looking at trends. We rely on the USDA as well as helping provide that trade data and opportunities. Some of this, these efforts are also part of just political winds, too, of what's happening in the world at a given time. When the Russian embargo was enacted in 2014, that displaced a lot of Alaska salmon roe, and it had us go look for other markets for Alaska salmon roe. I'll talk about that a little bit later in another slide, too. So some of it just kind of pushes us where we need to go, and others just looking for opportunity for Alaska seafood. Does that answer your question fully?
And specifically with the contractual relationship with these other market experts, that helps understand sort of how those connections are made. And then it's, we're not arranging the particular sales necessarily. Then we're making the connections so that individual companies or sellers can meet those particular buyers.
To the chair, that's correct. When we're trying to develop markets, it's working closely with the Alaska seafood industry on their need of which products. They also are looking to diversify, and so it's also finding that market where, say, pollock would have the best fits, or different Alaska salmon species or other flatfish species would fit in best, because different cuisines, different tastes, preferences across the world vary, and so maybe not all of our species will fit in every single marketplace. And so it's working with those buyers, what are they looking for, and then going back to our industry and making those connections for them. And then we can pass that off and let them do the sales negotiations. We don't do any direct sales at all.
And is there anything that might surprise us in terms of interest in, like, species? Like salmon roe seems, it's perhaps consumed more in some of these other markets than in our domestic market. Are there other species that are like that, you know, we don't maybe value as much, mm-hmm. but are very high valued in other, markets across the world?
Right. I'll just use one example. One species that most Alaskans have probably never heard of is Aka mackerel. Aka mackerel is very popular in Japan. It's so popular in Japan, they actually consider it their species and their product, though it's primarily harvested along the Aleutian chain here in Alaska. Aka mackerel isn't sold much outside of Japan. We're also, that's one of those species we're working to find in other markets, but it is highly preferred in the Japanese market.
Okay, that's so interesting to me. Thank you. Any other questions at this time? Okay, please continue.
Great. Our domestic marketing program primarily works with food service, retail, and distributors in the U.S. as well as Canada. We consider that part of the domestic market. Canada's not a very large market, so it's easy to absorb some of that effort into our domestic marketing program. The U.S. is our single largest market, and so we do put a lot of effort into making sure that the Alaska seafood brand is very relevant in front of consumers in the U.S. Our communications program oversees our in-states and stakeholder audiences. It also works with our public relations firm for U.S. public relations. This is our primary consumer facing audience efforts through our U.S. public relations effort. We used to have an advertising program, but that was reduced several years ago when our general fund was reduced as well. Our global food aid program works closely with USDA to make sure that Alaska seafood is included in different USDA purchase programs, such as school lunch programs, the food box programs, as well as international aid when that's needed. The products that primarily go to USDA food purchase programs right now would be Alaska pollock products as well as salmon products, both canned and frozen portions. We're always working on expanding those USDA purchase programs to other Alaska seafood products. Most recently, their rockfish was also included in a purchase, and we're looking at other opportunities for products in the future. Our technical program really is a foundational program for ASME. It provides just a plethora of information to the fleet, to the industry, to our downstream partners. We're always updating this information as the needs as needs arise, as well as requests come in from our industry partners. We develop anything from quality handling information for the fleets to new research and reports on health, nutrition, full utilization of our species, and more. So switching gears a little bit, let's talk quickly about the current value of Alaska seafood. Hot off the presses is the updated economic value of Alaska seafood industry report. This is prepared by the McKinley Research Group. This report is prepared every 2 years. The reason we prepare it every 2 years is to account for the wide variation in the pink salmon harvest. In odd years, we have a larger harvest of pink salmon than in even years. And so so to make up for that variation, we usually do it as an every 2 year and look at the average. However, this report was a little different than years past because we had to account for a pandemic, which greatly impacted the value of our species. And so when you flip to the report, and I'll show a next slide here, you'll see how we've kind of split out 2019 as a baseline and 2020 as an impacted year due to COVID. But if we look at Alaska seafood as a whole, some trends that have been consistent from years past still are very relevant, and one that's Alaska seafood directly employs more workers in Alaska than any other private sector industry, and we continue to produce about $15 billion of economic output across the nation. Next slide. As that $15 billion, you know, that equates to about $5.7 billion in economic output to the Alaska's economy. That's distributed very broadly across the entire state. It's not just actually the coastal communities, but there are a lot of fishermen who live in interior communities, such as the Matsu and Fairbanks, and so that money is really broadly distributed across the entire state. If you look at the chart at the lower left-hand corner of this slide, you'll see the distribution of our species. Alaska has a very diverse portfolio when you look at our species. We have a good mix of high-value, low-volume species, as well as low-value, high-volume species. And really, in any given year, other than just outlier years like COVID, we have a pretty strong portfolio because when one species is down, others tend to be up, and we tend to have a pretty even distribution of our value every year. And so when we look at just 2019 figures alone, Alaska fishermen harvested about 5.5 billion pounds of seafood. That equated to about $2 billion of harvest value. That's what was paid to the fishermen, the fleets. And then the processors turned that into about $4.5 billion of wholesale value sold worldwide, about 2.78 billion pounds of seafood produced. I like to always call out what was harvested versus what was produced. You'll see about half of the seafood produced, half of what was harvested is produced. That shows opportunity. That shows opportunity of whether that's in fish meal, fish oil, other ancillary products of growth to the value. And as we can use more of this resource, that will increase that first wholesale value, and we'll also likely see the harvest value increase along with it.
And just on that line, do you all have ideas for that? I mean, I know we've considered some legislation that's different, like enhancement legislation or the tax credit one that I think is for some of these more technical investments that was going to expire, and I hope through legislation won't. You know, are we getting some of these policies right, or how could we, kind of take advantage of that, right? We're already harvesting it, but we're like not getting possibly the full value if we don't explore some of those other opportunities.
Yeah. To the chair, that's a great question. Current legislation and what we've heard from the industry is incentives to increase value-added processing in the state definitely help. And we've seen that through studies we've done with McKinley Research, that's the value-added infrastructure that has been added to the state in the last 10, 15 years has increased and has led to higher value of those species that they are introduced for, and that's primarily salmon at this point. So more efforts like that will equate to higher value more of our species. ASME, we're also looking at other opportunities outside of just human-grade seafood, but like I said, whether it's pet food or nutraceuticals or other similar ancillary products that Alaska seafood can be used in. And the more that we use that resource, we're going to get more value back for it.
Now, there's a lot of conversation going on in the agricultural community about processing and needing additional processing facilities, same kind of problem. It's not that we can't grow more, but, during the time frame in which we're eating what we're producing, right, that need might be met. But, what could we do to extend things? You need the processing facilities to produce a frozen product or a value-added product. Would there be any possibility of a facility being able to meet the needs in both industries? Or, for seafood processing, is it unique enough that you think, you need additional capacity that's more focused on, making fish meal or fish oil or something like that? Because there's discussion, I should say, with capital budget items, and ARPA money, food security is an allowable investment. So there's a lot of discussion right now happening around these topics and potential investments in this year's budget. And so, if you're not prepared or haven't thought of that, I hope we can, have a follow-up conversation on that to think about if there's a way to be more strategic in our investments and meet the needs of both industries. And then Representative McCabe has a question after me.
To the chair, that's a great point that you make. And I would say that the Alaska seafood industry as a whole lags far behind many other seafood producing nations as far as our investment into our processing. Efficiency really is the name of the game, as well as being have a diversified ability to move more products. If you go into many processing plants in the state of Alaska, you'll realize that many of them set up in like a Swiss Army knife. They have the ability to move different product lines in and out, depending on which species are coming through the plant on any given time of the year. And that's very important. But as far as automation and efficiency of moving those products through, we do lag behind. If you visit some processing plants overseas, you'll realize that they're very far ahead of their capability of efficiently moving product through and new product forms through their plants. And so that's an area where Alaska could use some help in to grow our ability to really maximize that value.
I want to definitely have a follow-up conversation to think about this more. Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What can we do to help you convince the Office of the United States Trade Representative to actually include Alaska seafood on her bio or whatever they have for Alaska? I'm looking at everything but seafood exported from Alaska. Where's seafood? Why isn't it on there? Not your problem, but what can we do to help? We need to get that on there. I mean, you're the biggest export. You're the biggest money maker in Alaska, and it's nowhere on the U.S. Trade Representative's webpage anywhere.
Through the chair, Representative McKay, that's a great question, and we appreciate your help on that. And maybe we'll do some thinking on it and talk to our delegation as well on how we can put some pressure on them and make sure seafood's included into it. I'll add to that you're right. Oftentimes, we're an afterthought and when it comes to trade negotiations and foreign trade negotiations. And when the U.S. makes deals with other countries, sometimes seafood's left off of that deal, and that hurts our fishermen.
I mean, I'm looking at other plant products, 14 million, other livestock products, 1 million, feeds and other feed, 945,000, grains products, processed, beef and veal. There's no seafood. It's frustrating. So maybe we could do a resolution from the Fisheries Committee through the House to the trade representative asking that they, and we could put this report in with it, and ask them to please update their website.
Yeah. I mean, how can we be part of the conversation if we're not even in the thinking at all? But it does shed some light. We have those resolutions on, situation tariffs with China and Russian embargo. And you saying we're kind of the afterthought. It's like, oh, well, that helps understand how we could get into a position where we need to be doing resolutions saying, hey, you know, what about this, you know, seafood embargo? And then, you know, what about these tariff situations? So Representative McKay, very interested in that idea, and hopefully we could, you know, coordinate and sort of figure out the most appropriate way to put that forward, but very supportive of that idea. Okay, please continue.
Well, looking forward to working with you on that. Moving on, so let's just talk a little bit about 2020. I know we want it to be more of an afterthought, but it's still, you know, its impact still exists. You know, the easiest way to describe 2020 for the fleet was it was a very rough year. I'm not going to go through every single data point on this slide here, but if you just compare 2019 to 2020, everything was down across the board, from the amount of fishermen and crew that were working that summer, to processing plant workers, to just volume of the harvest, the value across the board, everything was down. But, you know, if we're going to point out any good news of 2020, it's the fact that we actually were able to fish. And that was only made possible by, you know, numerous stakeholders, both in this body, the governor's office, and across coastal fishing communities across the state that came together in 2020 and said, how can we figure out a way to execute our fisheries without, you know, impacting the health and safety of our communities where these fisheries happen? And so, you know, the good news was we still were able to fish in 2020. We didn't harvest as much as previous years. The value wasn't up. But at least we were still able to provide 5 billion pounds of seafood to the world. As we moved into 2021, we did see a partial recovery, but not a full recovery of the value of our fisheries. And if you just look at the export value there chart in the bottom right-hand corner, you'll notice that in 2021, we were up by about 200 million in our exports. And so we did see a slight increase as we moved into 2021. But really, the reason we haven't had a full recovery yet is we still are dealing with some key challenges that are caused by COVID. We're all living through the supply chain logistics and rate increases. Everybody's seen that. We're seeing on the shelves here in Alaska and throughout the country. Increased labor costs are still impacting the value of our species. Our fish processing companies are still including COVID mitigation measures, whether that's quarantining their employees, which is an added cost, putting them on charter flights to get to the communities, which is an added cost. All that impacts the price of fish at home. And there still is a lot of uncertainty in the global markets. We aren't sure what this summer or what next fall is going to bring us, and uncertainty brings hesitancy in to purchase our fish. All that said, though, we are optimistic for 2022. 2022, there's a lot of indicators that it's going to be better than 2021. It certainly is going to be better than 2020. And so we do have optimism that the value of our fish will continue to increase into this year.
Representative Story.
Thank you. Through the chair, this is Rep. Story. I'm just looking at the export value across the many years. And pretty consistent. Then 15, 16, there was a little drop up in 17. Obviously, COVID is the downscale. But any comment on some of those fluctuations about the differences and what that may have been?
Through the chair, Rep. Story, any given year can fluctuate a little bit. I believe 2016 and 2015, we saw a downturn in our pink salmon harvest, and there was definitely a reduction in those years. I can get back to you on that and double check with our McKinley research who we have run those numbers for us, but that would be a pretty strong guess looking at those numbers of why that would be down at that time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and I'd like to recognize Speaker Stutz, who's joined us at 10:37. Please continue.
Excellent. Just getting to the good parts, too, Speaker. All right, so moving on any given year, about 75% of our seafood is exported to about 100 different countries. To look at the species that are exported, the primary species that are exported are really our high-volume, lower-value species such as Alaska pollock, pink Kita salmon, our Amendment 80 flatfish species, and rockfish species. Those are primarily exported, especially to reprocessing markets such as China, South Korea, and some of these other markets that I've discussed earlier that we're trying to grow, like Southeast Asia and South America. When you look at the dots on the map here, blue represents areas where ASME has active marketing programs. Red is where we do not have active marketing programs. You'll notice that South Korea is a little bit of an outlier here because it's a big red dot. South Korea is primarily a reprocessing market. We have a little bit of effort in there for the domestic market space, but it, really most of our seafood that goes there is reprocessed and then re-exported to different markets across the globe. The China dot is getting smaller every year since 2018. That used to be about a $1 billion dot. It's actually down more since this when this map was created. It's down to about closer to $500 million now of export value. And so where is that lost export value going? That's what this slide shows. This is a 10-year trend line of our export values by region. You'll see the biggest change here is that China went from about a third of our total export value down to about a fifth. That has to be absorbed somewhere. Some of that's going into the U.S. domestic markets. We're seeing growth in Southeast Asia, some growth in South America a little bit, and some growth in South Korea as well. All right, so let's get into the marketing aspect, and let's see how consumers reacted to COVID-19 and how this is changing the market landscape for Alaska seafood. If we go back 2 years to 2020, and we're almost really fully 2 years there, now that we're in March, it's crazy to think that. Perhaps the biggest single impact to seafood immediately in March of 2020 was the closure of the food service sector across the globe. Just here in the U.S. alone, before 2020, 70% of seafood sales were made in the restaurants. So we lost that single largest customer overnight. And that was really one of the biggest impacts to our value of our seafood here at home is people didn't know we were there going to sell it. And frankly, there was some fishermen, prices were so low of some species, fishermen weren't going fishing because they, you know, couldn't pay for gas on the boat. And so that's really unfortunate to see. And then we also dealt with several shipping disruptions. And I talked about the added cost just to execute the fisheries and all this put together. We saw an average decline of about 27% to the value of our species in 2020. But then, as we started to live more with this pandemic and consumers realized, well, my favorite restaurant might not open again, they still started seeking those restaurant quality meals at home. And so we saw some shifts in seafood that we haven't seen ever prior to the pandemic. And people started buying more seafood to cook at home than ever before. And that's a great thing. That's something that ASME's been working on for 40 years is to get people to cook seafood more at home. We didn't realize it would take a pandemic for it to happen. The unfortunate part, though, is that while people were buying more seafood than ever, cooking it at home, it didn't quite make up for that lack of sales in the food service sector. And so it didn't quite return that value right back to our fishermen and our processors. But what we are seeing is that these trends are lasting and people are continuing to buy. They've learned how to cook seafood for the first time ever, and now it's part of their meal planning. And the people who were buying seafood frequently, say if they were eating seafood once or twice a month, now they're eating it three or four times a month. And so we're seeing that frequency increase across the globe. And that's just really great opportunity for Alaska seafood. And that's something that we're working on capitalizing on. Another shift that we've seen in consumers, and this should be no surprise, is everybody's becoming a little bit more health focused. They're looking for those foods that are good for them and making sure their bodies are healthy. And with that, they're also becoming more globally minded, and they want those foods that are not only good for them, but also good for the planet as well. And so these are areas where Alaska seafood really checks the box. And so just to summarize these trends, we're seeing growth in retail and e-commerce and in the health market. Sustainability and origin is very important to consumers. Home cooking is going to remain as important. And I don't know about any of you, but if I was working from home for a year, life didn't get easier. And so we're all still looking for more convenient ways to put dinner on the table and move on with our busy lives. And so the convenience market is still incredibly important. And so with that, ASME's created a global strategy of capitalizing on these trends. We're working on connecting with home cooks, increasing our presence in the e-commerce space, capitalizing on health and wellness, continuing to look and working in emerging trends, and then making sure that Alaska seafood is transparent with our customers across the globe. I'll go through each of these. Why is it important to continue to connect with home cooks? Well, we know that through many different studies, and this one alone says that 71% of people will continue to cook at home even after the pandemic ends. So how are we connecting with those home cooks? Well, it's important to work with trusted audiences. And so here's just two examples of working with two online media outlets, one Serious Eats, the other is Food 52, where they're showcasing Alaska seafood recipes. Recipes are incredibly important. We hear year after year, all the time, that people want to know how to cook seafood. And yes, they learned a little bit better throughout the pandemic, but they want new ways to include seafood into their diet and new ways to introduce it into their home. And so We've developed thousands upon thousands of recipes. We've worked with many different influencers to continue to develop recipes, and it's an important part of what we do to make seafood easier to consume at home. We work with many different trusted influencers as well. Some of you might recognize Tyler Florence here with us, working with his YouTube series, Wolf It Down, where he's making crab cake crusted halibut. And then in the pandemic, Azmi really took a focus to the online presence. As everybody was home, it was important that we were front and center in the online space. And so we completely rebuilt our websites, made it very mobile friendly. Our recipes are very easy to find on the website now. It's very consumer focused now. And our recipes will soon also be shoppable recipes. If you aren't familiar with what a shoppable recipe is, you click on the recipe, you can add it to the cart of your favorite online retailer. All the ingredients end up in there. You click buy, and that will end up on your doorstep in a matter of hours or minutes, depending on where you live in the country, and you have all the ingredients to make your healthy Alaska seafood dinner right there. So that lends us into the e-commerce market. And Americans actually lag in the e-commerce market compared to many foreign countries. But we're seeing growth really across the world, and that should be no surprise. I mean, raise your hand if you didn't purchase something online in the last year or two. Exactly, right? and so being in the e-commerce space is really important, but also in the e-commerce retail space and with retailers. And why is it important? Well, we know for Alaska Seafood that when we call it Alaska Seafood, it increases shoppers' willingness to purchase. People are looking for wild-caught seafood, that's obviously all Alaska Seafood. And that when Alaska Seafood logo is used, 75% of consumers are more likely to purchase the products. And then despite the fact that farmed salmon makes up 85% of the global market share for salmon, 7 out of 10 consumers still prefer Alaska salmon. So using the Alaska provenance really helps drive sales, whether that's e-commerce or in the retail market.
Speaker Steve has a question.
So has the delivery factor played into this at all? I mean, I know that at least from living in Kodiak with UPS or FedEx or any of those things, people just weren't getting their packages, and they aren't. And I wonder if that had affected any of the seafood or any of the orders that...
Through the chair, Speaker Stutes, the areas where we're seeing seafood delivery and delivery sales be the most successful are definitely urban markets, where they have distribution centers set up. And so we're talking large markets like New York City, LA, or if we look at global markets, we'll just say like Tokyo and other areas where they have distribution centers. They might have couriers who are 24/7 running deliveries. That's where we're seeing a lot of growth and success in that. You're right, rural areas, Alaska would be included in that. Our challenges are much more different than our urban neighbors.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Please continue.
And so to capitalize on the e-commerce markets, we work with retailers such as Walmart. Walmart's a great partner because both they have an online presence and they have the traditional brick and mortar. And so we can see in multiple different channels and Alaska Seafood can be present for the consumers, whether they're online or in store.
Is Walmart still the largest retailer in the United States?
To the chair, I'll have to get back into you. I don't want to guess. I'm going to say yes, but...
I mean, it just seems, you know, like that's so great to have that kind of reach because there's Walmart in every state, every city, you know.
And I would add to the chair that Walmart does a great job of calling out sustainability in the messaging. We saw this in the RFM presentation that was given last week, that they really are capitalizing on sustainability messaging and making sure that the products that are included in their store are sustainable. So that's good for Alaska Seafood as well. We have a digital partnership with Instacart. If you just look at the brands that Instacart works with, this really gives us a lot of opportunities to be in a lot of different places. This has been a very fruitful partnership for Alaska Seafood that we'll look at continuing to develop and probably increase our effort in this in coming years. So switching one of the other trends that I spoke with was the health and wellness sector. Health and wellness is very top of mind of many consumers. We have very savvy consumers, much more educated consumers than ever before, and they really want to know what their food is doing for them, not just being sustenance. And so how ASME is capitalizing in the space is making sure that consumers realize that Alaska seafood really is health food as well. And the messaging that we work with our different partners relays that. You'll see we did a recent promotion here with chicory, of making sure that the messaging was working with other health healthy recipes, and so when consumers are looking for those health food products, that Elastic Seafood is part of that conversation. Other ways we're connecting in the health food conversation is working with registered dietitians. Last year, before we could get together with different audiences, we did a satellite media tour. We connected different media members with registered dietitians. And the reason why registered dietitians are important is because they're a trusted source. Not everybody wants to hear from a marketer like myself. They want to hear from someone who's an expert in the field, right? And so working with registered dietitians to talk about the benefits of Alaska seafood is very important in this area. And we've taken it a step further this year to talk about the natural holistic wellness and how seafood's also good for your body and charges your body, and take that conversation to the next level. And then, of course, all this comes back to our new website. We have a wealth of information about the benefits of seafood and nutrition information that consumers, as well as our downstream partners, can pull from and better tell this story around health in Alaska seafood.
Representative Story?
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, how are we doing working with our school lunch programs and our partners, Sodexo and NANA? It's a huge market. We spend millions of dollars, federal dollars, on our school lunch programs, and just wondering how that, if you have a connection with them or anything you have to offer in that area.
Through the chair, Rep Story, the school lunch program is an important program through the USDA. Right now we have certain products that are available for the school lunch program. Alaska seafood products, the way we put it, we're on the menu. So schools can purchase Alaska seafood products. Probably one of the most common products that's purchased is fish sticks. And those buys actually have been increased in the last several years. Our USDA purchases, I believe in the last year, were close to $100 million of Alaska seafood products. If you're talking about our single largest customer, the USDA would be one of our single largest customers right now in Alaska seafood purchase. And so that's great. We're seeing an increase in the products. As far as variation in schools, that's a challenge. From an Alaska seafood standpoint, it's very important that we get kids eating seafood because that's when you hook them, right? And they become seafood eaters of life. And so that's something that ASME is always working on, but it is a challenge. It's not as easy as to say.
Ella? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of how it works, like Juneau School District contracts out to have food service. I think it's NANA now. And then I'm not sure with the USDA how the partners all work together, but just wondering if you had marketing outreach to those groups.
Through the chair, Representative Story, we don't have marketing outreach directly to those groups. That's something that I would be happy to have a conversation with you more on and how we could potentially be in that space. When we're using federal dollars, there's a menu that they have to choose from, and so it's important that you have your products on that federal menu, and it's a complicated process. It's not just as easy as saying have Alaska salmon available. It has to be to a certain specification and certain type to meet that menu, and so those are what our global food aid program works on, and making sure that we have product availability that's on that menu and schools are using that to purchase from. In that same area, the USDA recently updated its dietary guidelines, and those guidelines recommended that Americans eat seafood at least twice a week. If you look at the school lunch program, it's likely not meeting those dietary guidelines. And so we're working with our delegation as well as with the USDA to how can they make sure that their food purchasing and their programs are also meeting those dietary guidelines and that seafood's included in all those food purchase programs.
Thank you.
Perfect. Please continue.
All right. Just going to cover a few trends that we're seeing and where ASME is working in this space. Some trends we're seeing, are comfort foods, global foods, holidays, and I'll talk about a little bit about social media influencers as well. As I talked about 75% of our seafood is exported to 100 different countries in any given year. So Alaska seafood really is global cuisine. And global cuisine really is important to a lot of operators, and we're seeing this increase here in the U.S. as well as across the world with different varieties. And so making sure that Alaska seafood is thought of as this global variety, and there's many different ways that you can cook Alaska seafood, is important. So making sure we're in this space is just the recipe development, working with various chefs around the globe and making sure they're developing recipes for their own cuisines and their markets. We're also trying to get into the holiday occasions. As we get out of the pandemic here, we're seeing the need to gather, and everybody is wanting to gather more frequently. We know that Alaska seafood might not take over turkey on Thanksgiving, but we can definitely be part of the menu planning, whether it's a charcuterie board that you see here on the right or a smorgasbord of seafood that you see here on the left. Alaska seafood can be part of the holiday gatherings or just social gatherings as well. And here's just a quick set of why we know people want to go come together. Just this last holiday season, consumers were going to spend either more or the same as the previous year. And that showed that people were really eager to get together and have something to celebrate. And so we want to make sure that Alaska seafood is part of this celebration. Let's talk about social influencers for a little bit. Love them or hate them, people trust them. The people we follow online are the people we want to hear from, and we trust the information that they're providing to us. And so Alaska Seafood is working with those trusted influencers online to help share that message to their audiences, and their audiences really are huge. Just one example of how a social media influencer can take a seafood product and really make it go viral. Many of you may have seen the salmon rice bowl from TikTok from Emily Mariko. It really went, it blew up across the internet in the fall. And just to show how a simple recipe on TikTok can make its way into the marketplace, here you have a retailer advertising all the products you need to make the salmon rice bowl. If you aren't familiar with this rice bowl, I'll go through it real quick. All you do is take your leftover salmon, mince it up in a bowl, add some leftover rice, that's an ice cube, put over some parchment paper, microwave it till it gets warm, remove the ice cube, mix it up with some kewpie mayonnaise, a little bit of sriracha, a little bit of soy sauce, and serve it with some nori and some sliced up avocado, and you got yourself the salmon rice bowl that's taken over the internet.
I love it.
So we view this, really, this is a convenient hack on how to make seafood more convenient at home, right? Well, ASME's capitalizing on this as well. And this last month, we've been running an Alaska Seafood Hacks campaign. This has been one of our most successful campaigns, and we used ARPA funding to execute this campaign. And really, the use of the ARPA funding allowed us to elevate this campaign. Just 3 weeks through the campaign, we had over 39 million impressions through our primary social media audiences, which would be on Instagram as well as TikTok. To put that into perspective, 39 million impressions is more than our entire organic impressions the previous year. So that was a huge campaign. And really, this campaign we use major popular social media influencers such as Gabby from What's Gabby Cooking. We also used in-state influencers here in Alaska such as Keegan Randall to help talk to Alaskans about how we can make Alaska seafood easier to cook. It's been a great campaign. It ends tomorrow. We're really excited to see where these Alaska seafood hacks go from here. If you're curious in different ways to cook seafood or easier ways to prepare seafood, go ahead and search the hashtag on either Instagram or TikTok.
I will just say I've enjoyed the seafood hacks online presence recently. I've seen just, a few of them, and they've been great.
That's wonderful. That's great. Thank you. Feel free to share your own. So the last part of our global strategy is transparency. People really want to know where their food comes from. We have savvy shoppers, and they want an honest answer. And Alaska seafood has a great story to tell. That's an important part of what ASME does, is telling that Alaska seafood story. Our sustainability story is an important part of our messaging. We do that in many different ways, whether it's talking about the management of our fisheries. You can see a video of a fish counting tower. The bottom left corner here, this was last year. The Today Show did an Earth Week to celebrate Earth Day. They kicked the week off with a segment with Hannah Heinbuch, who is a fisherman from Kodiak. She woke up in the wee hours, I believe it was 3:30, to welcome in the U.S. at 7:30 New York time to talk about the benefits of Alaska seafood and how it's sustainable and good for the planet as well as being good for you.
Good. Oh, pardon me. Representative McCabe has a question.
Thank you. So obviously you got to the chef in the building too, because today's special is pan-seared sockeye salmon.
Perfect.
Through the chair, I actually was not aware of that, but that just shows the global presence and the impact that Alaska seafood has. Another important part of our transparency is the communications that we provide through our communications team. ASME is just one part of this effort, but it's also important that our downstream partners, our industry partners, are all sharing the same information. And as this information is updated, everybody has relevance and updated stats. And so the communication support is very important from whether it's being proactive or reactive, depending on what's going on in the world at the time, and also updated technical communications, which I talked about earlier in this presentation. And then once again, this all comes back to our new website, where we just have more information, whether you're a partner, whether you're a direct marketer, or a consumer, and you just want to have the drilled down information about why seafood is sustainable. So I'm getting toward the end of the presentation here, and I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about some of our challenges. While we do have a lot of opportunity for seafood, and I've talked about the areas where ASME is capitalizing on these trends, we still have some headwinds. I've talked about market development a lot today, and that really is, if you're going to take anything away from this presentation, it's that Alaska seafood needs global market diversification now more than ever. I talked about China and the China trade war with the U.S. and how it's displaced about $500 million of Alaska seafood and how we're working on developing those markets. Well, we spent 20 years investing in China with the Alaska seafood industry. We're not going to be able to develop these new markets overnight. It's going to take time to develop new markets, such as in Southeast Asia, South America, or elsewhere. Eastern Europe has been a growing market for us. We actually do quite a bit of business in Ukraine. Prior to this year, about $20 million of Alaska salmon roe products were being sold in Ukraine, and that part of it was in response to the Russian embargo. So what this will do to Alaska seafood is yet to be known. This development is rather recent, and it's a situation we're monitoring very closely. There may be some benefits, such as Russian seafood being banned from some markets, but that might create some challenges in other markets. The price of the ruble has dropped dramatically. That means that the purchase power for Russian products is actually going to go up. You can buy more for less. And so how that will compete with Alaska seafood isn't quite known right now. And our global competition is still very fierce. All of the opportunities and challenges that Alaska seafood is experiencing, so are our global competitors. One of our major global competitors is Norway, and Norway's Seafood Council has a global budget of three times the size of ASME. They have a very significant U.S. budget as well. They see a lot of opportunity in the United States market. They've opened the U.S. office, and so that's something that we're going to have to counter to make sure that Alaska seafood remains relevant in our most important market, but also relevant in our overseas markets. And then Russia, I have this slide on here. I've shared this stat with this committee before. They've been investing $7 billion into improving their fisheries. That's from new processing, new vessels, cold storage, promotion. They've dubbed themselves as the new Alaska. Not quite sure how that's going to work for them moving forward, but just something that was on here. We'll see how that shakes out in the coming weeks to months.
Yeah, right.
We definitely don't want to be associated with Russia moving forward. And then COVID challenges still exist. I talked about this earlier, too. We're still working through COVID. We want it to be over. Food service hasn't fully recovered. We need our restaurants back. We need our white table restaurants fully back. A lot of them closed. A lot of them aren't going to reopen. And so how the restaurant industry recovers is important for Alaska seafood. The supply chain and global logistics is a mess right now. We're living with it like everybody else. Inflation is going to impact the value of seafood. We're seeing seafood get more expensive, the cost to execute our fisheries become more expensive, and people have less purchase power through inflation as well. And then I talked about uncertainty before as well. All of our crystal balls are very cloudy right now. What's going to come in the coming year or two, all of us want to know, and that uncertainty makes it difficult to really predict where to put our fish and what the price of our fish is going to be.
Thank you. We have a question from Representative McCabe.
So I'm trying to think of how to ask this question. Does ASME have, you said you had 20 employees. Do you have anybody that's just kind of dedicated to the supply chain transportation issues and, maybe opening markets by finding new transportation areas? Yeah.
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, we don't have a dedicated supply chain logistics person. we do have dedicated international staff. We actually are working with McKinley Research Group right now on a project to look at the entire scope of the Alaska seafood supply chain, starting in Alaska. And we've used three different markets as exploratory markets, one being Southeast Asia, the other being Europe, and then the third being the U.S. market is where the supply chain goes. And that's so we can get a better understanding of how Alaska seafood moves through the global marketplace, and then we can identify where do we need these fixes along the place. That's something that the USDA has actually asked all food commodities to provide comment on. And so that's one reason we've undertaken this project, is so we can better be informed and provide really good information to the federal government and others who are trying to work on this issue.
Sounds like you need to put a pilot on your staff.
A future job opportunity for the pilot here. Any other questions from members this morning or comments? Representative Story.
Through the chair. Thank you for being here today. My comment would just be, there is all this uncertainty, but one thing we have is the certainty of what a wonderful product and healthy and sustainable it is, and how we care for it. And thank you for carrying that message out there, because that is really, really important to people, and we have to keep that message going. So thank you for your efforts.
You want to know?
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative McCabe?
No, I just want to say thanks. I appreciate it.
Perfect. Yes, thank you so much for your presentation. Representative Price Tompkins had to drop off a little bit ago because he had another bill hearing. So he was online, though. But thank you so much for your presentation. I know, we're keeping in touch with you about other topics that may be of interest, but appreciate the new website. I did share that with our Fisheries Committee members in the interim. I think that's a great resource for our constituents, so appreciate the reminder about that, and hopefully others are getting reminded about that this morning, particularly the recipes, because there's so many options on there, and it really makes it feel a lot more accessible to, know that people are using the same thing that you're using, and and can do that. So, Representative Stutes.
Well, since you're talking about recipes, I might as well take this opportunity to plug Esme's nice cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lovely cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes. Thank you.
Through the chair, Rep. Stutes, we know that cookbook's pretty popular in the building here, and I heard that a few staffers were not letting it get to a few of their other bosses. If you need one, please reach out, and we'll make sure you get another.
They are absolutely fabulous cookbooks. So thank you.
Thank you. But yes, we'll keep in touch on other topics. Thank you for the good work. Please keep the reminders up of how we can help amplify your message to our constituents, and so we make sure Alaskans are accessing that information as well. So thank you, and at 11:07 a.m., we will adjourn for today.
Thank you.